That's Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25 this morning. As you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, if you're able, of course, would you stand to your feet this morning? And that's Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God and the opportunity we have this morning to come and hear it preached. God, I pray you'd help us not to waste our time, the efforts and preparation for this message, so that we can hear what you have for us and change our lives to be better, a better Christian, a better citizen. Just help us, Lord. We need you today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And Father, one last thing. If there be someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would get that settled before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off. We usually say vibrate, but today we'll just turn them off because according to my time watch here, it is 1 minute to 12, and I have to be done at noon. And the good news is I have a 60-second sermon. The bad news is I didn't bring it with me. Okay, here we go. So just listen very carefully. I'd appreciate that very much. This is one of those accounts in the Bible where the disciples are with Jesus in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, Lake of Gennesaret, whatever, and they encounter a storm. And in this particular account, as in the other ones, they call on Jesus for help, and he calms the storm. In this Luke's gospel account, Jesus asks them a question after he calms the storm. He says, Where is your faith? In one of the accounts, Jesus wasn't with them in the boat. He joined them later. He walked on the water toward them. So there was at least two different times the disciples are with Jesus. And there is a storm, and Jesus is either in the boat or gets in the boat and calms the storm. And in this particular account here, after he calmed the storm, he asked them to take an inventory on their faith. He says, Where is your faith? The subject this morning is very simple. We're going to talk to you about faith. By the way, if you want to know what faith is, you can see it in these verses. Look at verse number 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. See, I don't see faith, Pastor Johnson. Oh, it's there. Here's Jesus telling the disciples what to do. And they launched and sailed across to the other, start to the other side of the lake. That's what faith is. Faith is just simply trusting the Lord and doing what he tells you to do. So you start out, listen, you start out doing what he tells you. He gives you an order, a command. He tells you something, and then you obey that. That's what faith is. It's no more complicated than that, no more difficult than that. Remember when Jesus was asked by a centurion, a heathen man actually, to heal his child. And the centurion said, Look, you don't even have to come. Just say the word, and my child will be healed. And so when he gave the word, Jesus was amazed that this man said, I'm a man of authority. I tell people to go, they go. I tell them to come, and they come. He says, all you have to do is just say the word, and my son would be healed. And the Bible said Jesus marveled at this man's faith. because he understood the very basic concept of what it is. God tells us to do something, we do it. That's faith. And that's what happened here. Jesus said, let's get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. So they stepped out by faith, trusted what Jesus said, took off. When the storm came, something happened to their faith. And the Bible said Jesus was in the ship. Now, we often think to ourselves, he was down inside somewhere. We don't know how big the boat was. We have no idea. He may have been just laying there on the maybe a small enough boat for the disciples and Jesus to get into. Have no idea. We just know this. Jesus was in the boat. And the Bible said when the storm came up and the wind blew, the boat filled with water. And the disciples ran to him and said, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus steps up and calms the wind and calms the storm and then asks them to take an inventory on their faith. Where is your faith? You know what, something, dear people? Everybody has faith. Everyone. I've talked to atheists before and helped them to understand that they have faith. Now, they'll tell you, I only believe in what I can see, and there's a couple of really simple things you can do with them to help them to understand. They believe in a lot of things that they can't see. My favorite one is, you know, take a dollar bill out of your pocket. And I was talking to an atheist one day on an airplane. He was saying, I don't believe anything I can't see. I said, well, then, this on dollar bill, this is George Washington. He said, yes. And I said, you've seen George lately? He said, well, no. And I said, then you believe in something you don't see. Well, he's on the money. Everybody knows he was the first president of the United States of America. I said, everyone knows that, but we have to accept it by faith because we haven't seen George. So I said, sir, you even have faith? I said, when you got on this airplane, didn't you just kind of like trust it was going to get off the ground? I used to be an air traffic controller, and so they taught us the concepts of aerodynamic flight, how a plane actually gets off the ground. The wing is cupped in such a way, flat on the bottom, shaped round on the top. And as the plane picks up speed, the airflow over the top doesn't match the airflow underneath it, and it lifts the plane off the ground. That's why these huge airplanes fly just as easy as anything else does. I said, but did you understand the concept of aerodynamic flight when you got on this airplane? I said, no, you just sit down and got in a seat, bought your ticket, sit down. You just trusted they get this thing off the ground. And that the pilot knew where he was going and then what he was going to do. I said, sir, you have faith. I said, you had faith to sit in that chair. He goes, okay, I got your point. I said, well, then don't tell me you don't believe in things you don't see or that you're not a man of faith. Everybody has faith. The issue is, where is it? And in whom do you have faith? So Jesus, when the disciples are with him, he said, we're going to the other side of the lake. They launched out. Everything was good. Their faith was in order. They had the right kind of faith. They had faith in the word of the Lord, what he told them to do. They had faith in the Lord, so they had the right source and the right object of faith. Now, since everybody has faith, that doesn't mean everybody believes in God. It means everyone believes in something, and everyone trusts in something, and everyone acts upon that which they trust in. Unfortunately, most people have faith in themselves more than anything else. But in this case, these guys had the right faith to start off with, and somewhere along the way in the storm, they found out that their faith was first of all lacking. You see, these men had sailed and crossed this lake many times before. When Jesus told them, let's go to the other side of the lake, there's nothing in there in the Bible that says they went, how are we going to get over there? We've never done this before in our entire life. They just jumped in a boat and took off. Remember, a bunch of them were fishermen. Many times they'd sailed across this lake. They knew what to do. Oh, and then a storm comes up, and what do they find out? They find out their faith is lacking. They took an inventory, and Jesus reminded them, see, what happened was this. They were really, they really didn't have total faith in the Lord. They were obeying what he told them to do, but in the back of their minds, they're really just trusting themselves. Because I've done this before. I know how to do this, you know. That faith will always leave you short. Faith in yourself, a combination of faith in God. And I'll tell you when it'll happen, when you'll find this out, when a storm comes up. When you get, the Bible says they were in jeopardy. That's not a TV program where you answer questions. They were in jeopardy. In other words, they knew they could die. And they found something out. When Jesus stood up and said, "Where is your faith?" They, no doubt, they must have scratched their head and said, "Well, all along it really wasn't in you, Lord. We did what you said, but we really thought we could handle this ourselves." Oh my. How often do we have to find that one out to find out where our faith is? And then it's a lacking faith because we're depending upon ourselves. When my wife and I were first married, this December we'll be married 40 years, December the 6th. And that when we were first married, that first year of marriage, you remember that? Can you remember your first year of marriage? You remember what a piece of glass that thing was? How just you just sailed across the silvery seas of the first year of marriage like there was nothing going on. Everything fit so perfectly. You got along so well. You understood each other right off the bat. There was no disagreements about anything. I don't hear anybody saying amen on that one now. Oh, yeah. No, you didn't. That first year of marriage, you were trying to figure each other out. Right? You were trying to understand this person that you said I do to. That first year of marriage, we had it's the adjustment time. Say, what are the other 39 years been? We're still adjusting after 39 years. But the truth of the matter is that first year, we had disagreements about things. She didn't understand why I was always right. She still doesn't understand that. And say, are you always right? Well, I thought I was wrong once, and then I realized I was right. But the truth is, that first year was that adjustment period of time. And in that first year, we just got married. I took on a new job. And this job, be frank and honest with you, was a little beneath my mental capacity. Now I wish I had it. But the truth is, it wasn't what I would call a challenging job. In fact, when they told me about it and I needed a job, I took it and stuff like that. And they told me what the job was. I thought, I can handle that. Piece of cake. I mean, seriously, they trained me for a couple of weeks, and by the end of the 2 weeks, I was telling the trainer what to do. I mean, I had it figured out. So I got this wife, right? And then she's getting adjusted to me being right all the time, and I can handle that. I can figure that out. And I got this new job, and I got this figured out too. I got that handle. I can figure that out. I got it. So it's kind of coming together a little bit. It wasn't. It was nothing was working. My boss calls me up one day and he says, "I want you to come in the office for a minute." And I'm thinking, yeah, raise, you know, a couple of months on the job. He knows what he's got. It's raise time. It's got to be a raise, right? Because I can handle this job. Like I can handle this woman. I can handle the new move. We moved from Sacramento to Chico. I got the job. I can handle all this stuff. And I walked in the office and I sit down and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what kind of a raise I'm going to get here. He looks at me and he goes, "Well, Mike," he goes, "it's really simple. I'm going to have to fire you." I said, what? He pulls out a notepad and starts turning the pages of complaints from my customers, my clients. He goes, I cannot believe I've gotten all these complaints from your clients about your work. I said, what? He goes, I can't have that. He goes, I just brought you in because maybe you could explain some of this to me and explain. But he goes, frankly, I don't see any other choice, but I'm going to have to fire you. And so he brought a few things up. I explained a few things to him. And he goes, "Well, look," he goes, you've been a good employee, and I don't understand this, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you out of here with 2.5 strikes. I get one more phone call, you're history. So you better get with it. And all of a sudden I found out I can't handle this job. Then I went home, had a fight with my wife. And I found out, can't handle this woman either. Then my grandmother, she's in heaven now. She's one of those kind of people, seriously. If you walked into McDonald's and emptied a clip on those old people in there, she would compliment you on your targeting. And that's just the way she was. She was a very complimentary person. Always an encourager. That's just how she was. Nice grouping, Michael. You got those four guys. I mean, that's the way she was. I called her up just to say hi, and then she found out I drove by her house and didn't stop and say hello. She chewed me out. Now I can't even handle my grandmother. And I sat down, ladies and gentlemen, and God just showed me that I had inventory of faith. Where is your faith? And too much of it was in Mike Johnson. And it was a very humbling experience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We can talk about how much faith we have in God. But when the storm comes, you're going to take an inventory and find out where is your faith. And if it's lacking because it's not dependent upon the Lord and trusting Him and in simple obedience, like what got you in it, like what got Him in the lake and on the lake and across the lake, if you'll find out very quickly that your faith is lacking, if it's depending upon you. I'm not saying that you and I are not expected to fulfill our obligations and responsibilities, but when you think you got it, my friend, you got trouble. Where is your faith? Then they found out that the faith had been left out. The storm comes up, and notice they didn't ask for help. The Bible says, look at verse 23. They don't ask for help till the ship is full. My question is always this. Wasn't ankle deep enough good enough? How about knee deep? How about the fact that now they have a boat completely filled with water, and they know they're going to die, and now they're going to go to the Lord and ask Him for help. So they left faith out of this thing altogether. They left it out. They should have gone to the Lord first thing. They should have come to Him. When the storm came up, they did a little bit of what they could. When they saw the trouble really coming on the horizon, then they should have gone to the Lord. Our faith would be misplaced when we leave it out of our lives and out of our living because a storm comes. You say, well, they were just busy bailing water and doing what they could. Let me ask you a question. How much more water are you going to bail before you come to the Lord? How many more buckets of water are you going to throw over the bow of the troubles of your life before you stop leaving faith out of what you do? Listen to me. Faith is obedience to what the Bible tells you to do. Trusting the Bible and the God of the Bible, and then you just do it. No. They waited till the ship was full and Jesus is floating on the pillow. Then they go to Him and say, Lord, you got to help us, you got to help us, you got to help us. See, they found in an inventory of their faith that they left faith out altogether. What they should have done all along was say, the Lord told us we're going to go across. Let's get His help on this thing and gone to Him immediately. Ladies and gentlemen, when are you going to stop leaving faith out of what you're doing in your life? Well, Pastor Johnson, if you knew the storm I was going through in my life. Yeah, storms can block our vision sometimes. Storms can hinder our seeing things the way that they ought to be. A storm in our life and trouble. You know I'm not talking weather now, don't you? You know I'm talking troubles that come our way. Financial clouds that roll on the horizon, difficulties with our health or family or issues, those sorts of things. Boy, all of a sudden the clouds look bigger than God. All of a sudden the storm looks greater than God. And if we're not careful, our inventory will show us we've really left our faith out of God out. We stopped obeying the Bible. We stopped going to church. We stopped reading the Word of God. We stopped living the way we're supposed to live. And then we wonder why the storm is worse and the boat is full because you left faith out. He said, let's go to the other side. And they launched forth. It's really quite simple, you know. The inventory of their faith, look at verse 25, shows that their faith was lacking because they didn't learn from what they had seen. They didn't learn from their faith. It says, and He said unto them, where is your faith? And they said, well, of course the Lord can do this. Of course He's got great abilities. Well, remember now, this is not the first time the disciples have seen Jesus perform a miracle. Before this, He's fed multitudes with loaves and fishes. Before this, they have seen Him, no doubt, walk on water. Before this, they've seen storms calm before. Before all of this. But what do they say in verse number 25 when He calms the storm? It says, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commanded even the winds and waters, and they obey Him. After the storm is calmed, they still haven't learned from the experience of putting their faith where it should have been all along. You know, people who doubt the Lord in a storm are people who forgot how many storms He's already calmed in their life. And friend, look here now, look at me this morning, and He's calmed a few in your life, hasn't He? Thank both you Methodists. I said He's calmed a few in your life, hasn't He? Oh, yes, He has. In some cases, He walked on the water to you to help you out of that trouble. In some cases, He allowed you to be a part of what He did by your simple faith. When He broke those loaves and fishes, look, if He could take a handful of a few loaves and a few fishes and feed thousands of people, He doesn't need the disciples' help to take the food to them. If he can do that miracle, he can just put it in front of people without help. But he asked the disciples to come, and he broke bread so they could stand there and watch him break the loaves right in front of them and put it in baskets and a few fishes and break those and feed thousands of people. And they stood there with baskets and watched him fill it up and come back and fill it up and come back. They saw a miracle right before their very eyes. What are they wondering about here? When Jesus steps out and says, "Peace, be still," and the waves calm and the winds blow soft, what are they wondering about? There should be nothing to wonder about. You know why? Their faith has not increased. They've not learned that God is faithful and God is able and God is capable. And we know that God can based on the fact that God has. Because that's what he's done, my friend. Have we forgotten how simple it was when we came to Christ and accepted him as our Savior? We simply by faith accepted Jesus Christ by faith, and he saved us. He changed our life. And all of a sudden now the Bible became open to us. No, we weren't scholars, but now we could better understand it because the Spirit of God lived inside of us. And that we weren't perfect after we got saved, but we weren't the same either. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you remember the first time you prayed and asked God for something and he answered your prayers? Do you remember that? Don't ever forget it. Because the God who answered prayer then is the God who answers prayer now. Remember when you cried out to God for help and God interceded and helped you? Remember that? Don't ever forget it. There's no reason for us to wonder about what God can do. Our faith should be learned from. It should increase over the longer you trust and the longer you obey, the longer you should have greater faith in the God of heaven and the book that he gave us. We won't turn to it this morning, but in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has risen from the dead. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has risen from the dead and he gathers his disciples together. This is not a crowd of people now who are curious onlookers. These were his disciples. They saw him in the upper room after his resurrection. They've seen him bodily now at least three times. But in Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17, he gets his disciples together. He's about to give them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And while he gathers those disciples together around him, he's standing there with nail scars in his hands and feet and a spear scar in his side. And they see the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, he'll ascend before their very eyes back to heaven. And as he gets them together, before he can even say, "Now, gentlemen, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," the Bible says in Matthew 28, 16, "And some doubted." Every time I read that, I think to myself, wow, what does it take to convince some people what God can do? He stood there in front. These were disciples, not casual observers now. These were his disciples. They were the ones who were in that boat when he calmed the storm. They were the ones who were there when he called Lazarus from the dead after being in the grave 4 days. They were the ones who saw him walk on the water. All of that. They were the ones who saw the empty tomb and the risen Savior. They saw all of it. And the Bible said while they're standing there, and Jesus in his resurrected, risen body stands before them, they look at him and some of them were still saying, "You know, I just don't know about all this." Where is your faith? You take inventory on your faith. You should have learned by now what God can do, what God is able to do, and what God will do in answer to faith. We're not one of the blab it and grab it churches, okay? You believe it, you receive it. All that kind of junk, hogwash. God does what he does according to his will and according to his way. But we also know this. He does operate in accordance to your faith. He said if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." And it would be. Seen anybody move mountains lately? I don't think our faith is the determining factor in God's answering prayer and doing work, but I know it is certainly a part of it. And we should have learned by now. When he calmed the storm, what are they wondering about? Rather than wondering, who is this guy that calms the seas? These are disciples. Are you kidding me? Well, that storm can sure mess up your thinking sometimes. And all of a sudden you get a bit of Baptist amnesia. And you forget how good he has been, how often he has answered prayer, how much he has helped you, how many times God stepped in. See, they'd forgotten what God had done for them and what God had done with them in their lives. And they're still wondering what this is all about. They had not learned from their faith. They have not learned that God is capable and able to do what he does. May I ask you a question this morning? Where is your faith? Let's stand to our feet, please, would you?